Hello and welcome back to this very special episode of the Punching Pod, episode 5. I'm joined by, of course, Oscar as always, and Mo. We've brought you back. You were so good in the influencer crossover boxing episode that we've invited you back. How are we, mate? How have you been since the episode we did with you?
Honestly, just been trying to get on again, just trying to convince you guys to get me on, and I'm glad I'm on again.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say.
Have you been loving the content recently, mate?
Oh, bro, my favorite podcast on the internet currently.
Yeah, see, say more of that, mate. You'll be back on. Oscar, have you been, mate, been up so much recently?
Yeah, I've been good, mate. I'm delighted to have Mo back on. Not been up to an awful lot. There's a decent amount happening in the world of boxing. Obviously, this podcast is slightly different, so looking forward to it.
8 years ago to the day, Las Vegas was the location for one of the most significant UFC events and fights we've seen in the 30 years of the company's history. Conor McGregor defeated Jose Aldo to win his first featherweight title in just about 13 seconds. What an event it was, and I think for Conor McGregor, we kind of saw him. That's where his career elevated, I think, against Aldo, and we'll touch on the pre-fight build up as it went on for a long, long time, and it played a significant part in how the actual fight went. But Mo, this fight, I mean, it's one of the most significant and most influential fights in the UFC's history. It elevated Conor McGregor to a world superstar, the first probably of his kind within the UFC. Can you just kind of sum up the significance of this fight?
Honestly, I'd say you described it very well. I'd say it was a career-defining moment. Like, this was it. This was the most significant fight McGregor has had at that point. Like, this was the most significant name, the toughest opponent, everybody was saying. At that time, I remember everybody was talking about if McGregor is really like he talks the talk, but does he walk the walk? And everybody was wondering, like, when he comes up against somebody like Jose Aldo, who at that time was 14 years, no losses, a legend of the game. The Brazilians were saying there's no way, no chance for this guy, no chance for this young, cocky guy to be able to do it. Career defining.
I mean, you touched on it there in terms of this fight for McGregor. I don't think, and I think this is why we are just going to have an episode to sort of look back at this fight, because I don't think it can be undermined how significant this fight was, not just for Conor McGregor, but I think for the sport as a whole. I think he brought the UFC into a world spotlight that I don't think we had ever seen prior to this fight. As you touched on then, it was the first real name on McGregor's roster. Obviously, he had fought the likes of Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier, and obviously those fighters have gone on to be huge stars in the UFC, but at the time, they were like McGregor still coming up. He had fought Chad Mendes, who was a great contender in the division, but obviously wasn't, that fight was never meant to happen. It only happened because of Aldo's injury. I mean, That's the thing for McGregor, and we'll talk about the pre-fight build-up in just a sec, but I think he, as we've said, he took the UFC onto this world stage, and Oscar, I think we haven't seen a star in the UFC like McGregor. Many have tried to be like McGregor, but I don't think we've really seen a star quite like him. Just how important is him and this fight for the company as a whole, and where Conor McGregor has taken sort of the UFC and as a business as a whole?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, now people have become more familiar with the UFC, but also the sport of MMA. Like, no one really knew about that before this fight between him and Aldo. So I mean, he's taken the UFC to a completely new level. Before him, you obviously had the likes of Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, and that was a great rivalry between those two. I think something like that would have really captured the imagination of the fans if that if the UFC's platform was bigger. And obviously, now that it's much bigger, we're seeing a lot more rivalries in the sport. We're seeing a lot more characters, and they've built on the success that they've had through Conor McGregor. I mean, he has single-handedly been, the key driving force for the UFC's success, in my opinion. When you see him in front of camera, he doesn't mince his words. He's often controversial. He'll say whatever comes first to his mind. And that's something that obviously divides opinion. Not everyone's going to like it, but it's going to generate interest because he's always got something to say about something. And you talk about the build-up between him and Aldo. That was just fireworks throughout the whole process, really.
Yeah, and let's talk about the build-up, because we've had fighters before McGregor, the Chael Sonnens, the, as you said, Tito Ortiz, the Chuck Liddells, who have been characters and their personality. But I think through the build-up, McGregor did something that I think we had never seen before in the UFC, in terms of he captured people's imagination. He would talk the talk and he would walk the walk. As Mo said, this new young brash guy coming through, beating Poirier, Dennis Siver, Chad Mendes, he would say what he was going to do and he would deliver. And I think that's why he was so captivating. McGregor really set the standard. Now, if we look at fighters now in the UFC, he sort of said, do you know what? The ball's going to be in my court and I'm going to dictate my future, instead of sort of the UFC, what we've traditionally seen and what we see now, sort of dictate fighters' stories. He took the reins of his own future, and he was calling out Aldo. And it's one of them where you don't really see fighters who've only had 5-6 fights in the UFC fight Jose Aldo for the featherweight belt, a Jose Aldo who hadn't lost, as Mo said, in 14 years. Talking on the pre-fight build-up, we saw something that I think the UFC, we had never seen before, and I think the UFC, they cashed in. They cashed in on this young up-and-coming fighter who was loved by fans, and they went on this world tour that they'd never really done. They went around Dublin and Brazil and America, and they went all over the world taking this tour of this show of McGregor Aldo. Mo, with this tour, and obviously talking, it's easy to talk in hindsight, but how much psychologically damaged was Aldo already going into that fight? That's just what McGregor does, right?
I'm glad you mentioned the psychological war. And like you said, we've always had, like, UFC have always had personalities, big personalities in fights. Chael Sonnen, DC, Daniel Cormier, John Jones, and everybody was always, like, there were always big talkers on the UFC. But we have never seen, in my opinion, a championship fight where the opponent gets into the other opponent's head that quick and that well. I think it all happened when UFC, like you said, ran that press conference in Brazil, and McGregor came in like he was the king of the world, even in Brazil, in his own, in Jose Aldo's own land. Conor McGregor came in as confident as can be. I think that's when Aldo, it hit him that this guy's mentality is on another level. And on fight night, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I wouldn't have predicted what happened. No way. After the fight, you can clearly see a little more that Aldo got into a fight that he couldn't, like, his head was already gone way before the bell was rang.
We saw originally Jose Aldo and McGregor were meant to fight after the sort of press conferences tour, and then McGregor, Aldo, as you mentioned, he injured a rib in training. The fight had to be cancelled. He fought Chad Mendes, who again, at that time, everyone was saying, Chad Mendes, amazing wrestler. He's gonna dominate McGregor. He's gonna take him down. And it was a big sort of U-turn in terms of McGregor being training all this time for a stand-up, a striker in Aldo, and then quickly he had to fight Chad Mendes, a really great wrestler, but obviously he came through that. Oscar, we saw after, as McGregor crossed into the boxing scene again, Dana White and I believe Mayweather's team and promotions,
Leonard Ellerby.
Yeah, they worked together and went on a tour. And McGregor, we saw the exact same tactics from McGregor in that one, where trying to get in Mayweather's head and saying all these things about him. And this is just where McGregor just strives, surely. It just in the spotlight, on stage, with a mic in front of him. That is his perfect place to be in. And I don't think, as Mo said, have we seen anyone really like McGregor after that in any combat sports, really?
No, I would say McGregor is certainly one of a kind. In terms of, as I talked about earlier, his relatability, in terms of the fans actually taking interest in him, but also with that fight against Aldo, I think where we talk about the psychological warfare, one of the things that must have really played with Aldo's mind was when he saw McGregor in his home country of Brazil. Obviously, the confidence was oozing out of him. And you mentioned, obviously, 14 years undefeated. He would never have come across anything like that before. And he just didn't know how to deal with it, because being the champion, you're not used to someone turning up with that much confidence. Obviously, since that fight, his short sort of diversion into boxing, we've seen similar sort of words coming out of his mouth, where he's trash talking Floyd Mayweather. Obviously, it didn't work to the same extent in that fight, but you can see how powerful that can be in terms of the psychological aspect.
Yeah, and the thing is, even in that fight against Mayweather, everyone assumed, Floyd Mayweather, he's gonna smoke him, he has no chance. And yet we still saw McGregor, confident as ever. Still, even if he didn't believe it, he didn't seem to show it, he seemed to go, like, the when they went on that tour, got the crowd going, chatting to Mayweather about, why have you got a school bag, you can't even read. And then as you said, the one in Brazil, going back to the world tour with Jose Aldo, as you mentioned, I think for me, that was the first time, and I think obviously he's gone on to do, as we've said, to do much of the same, but that was the first time I looked at McGregor and I went, do you know what? Like, this is the first time we've seen you in your pure element. We've saw similar antics in build-ups, lead-ups to other fights, but I think this fight in particular was very personal to McGregor. It was very much, he knew he had Aldo straight away. As you said, in his own backyard in Brazil, talking about, if this was a different time, I'd ride in your favela on horseback. And just all these lines, perfect. And then I think you saw when the UFC took the tour to Dublin in Ireland, and they let the fans ask the questions. The Irish fans asking Aldo questions and things. And I think, and even Dana wearing an Ireland top, even he was loving it. He was, I think it all just catered towards the McGregor hype train. I think there was nothing. That fight was set up for McGregor to win. Mo, there's been a lot of talk about sort of where McGregor is now, and in hindsight, what McGregor needs to do to sort of get back into what he was. Do you think he can ever get back to that place, or do you think that was just perfect timing in the moment, and we'll never see him or anyone else back into that state again? Because he's tried to chat shit effectively to Dustin Poirier and Khabib, and we've seen it not work, and him kind of fall flat on his face. So do you think he can ever get back into that McGregor state, or do you think that's just a time capsule that we were living in?
I believe that McGregor will always have a big name now. I think when you become a mega star like that at one point during your career, you'll never really lose it, no matter what you do. And we're actually viewing this like, he's not really, I'd be honest, I don't like him as a human being, like how he acts and stuff and what he says in real life. But I did honestly enjoy his tenure in the UFC. But like I said before, you know, and I do believe that that match was in a way Jose Aldo's like, an ultimate match. Like, I feel like Jose Aldo came back after that match, not the same person that was 14 years with no defeat. He came back a person that's been defeated, that's tasted what it is like to take a loss, and it was all different. And I feel like McGregor after that Khabib fight is the same case. I feel like McGregor after he got dominated by Khabib in their fight, he hasn't never recovered from that. If you ask me if he's going to go back to being the mega star that he is, I honestly don't think so. Is he going to go back to the UFC? I do believe he's going to try. But yeah. maybe he'll prove me wrong, honestly. And I'll be excited to see it, because the UFC haven't had a star like McGregor. McGregor will always be remembered as the megastar of the UFC.
I would tend to agree. I don't think we'll ever see another star like Conor McGregor. I think he was the first of his kind to sort of be just himself and just be so confident, and everything he said and everything he touched turned to gold. And I think he was loved by every UFC fight fan. I think he brought something new that we had just never seen before. In terms of sort of his success in that moment, Oscar, what do you put it down to? Because we have a lot of fighters now who try and talk the talk and try and captivate fans' imaginations, both in boxing and MMA. But I think we can all agree that McGregor was something different. What do you put it down to? Is it the fact that he was relatable to fans, or was it just the fact that whatever he said came true?
I think, to be honest, like, and I do agree with what Mo said, like, make no mistake about it, McGregor, he's, I guess, an agent of chaos. So he thrives on controversy. That doesn't make him a good human being, but he generates a lot of interest by doing that. But I think aside from that aspect of him, he is a very professional fighter in the UFC. Like, he takes his craft so seriously. You can see how meticulous his training camps are, even in these documentaries that I've watched before, little snippets where you just see the focus that he's in during the training camps, and how he obviously had that superb relationship with John Kavanagh, who was a great tutor for him. And so you've got all these different elements. You've got his professionalism, you've got John Kavanagh in his corner, and you've also got his raw talent as a fighter. I mean, he started in boxing. He was a great amateur boxer once upon a time, and then he made the transition into the UFC and became arguably one of the greatest strikers of all time.
McGregor was just oozed everything what you want in a fighter. In terms of, I remember he brought a picture of Aldo and ripped it in front of him. He stole his belt across from the table at one of the press conferences. As we mentioned, they went to Ireland and let drunken Irish fans, for whatever reason, chat shit to Aldo. I mean, and I think also the fact that, and we see this sometimes a bit as well, when fighters, when English isn't their first language, maybe they're not as sort of relatable towards fans. I think some fighters can get away with it, but I think also the problem that Aldo had was obviously English wasn't his first language, so everything he needed to say and every response he gave after McGregor would talk would take a while, because it had to be translated, where McGregor was so quick and he was so sharp. I think that that's just what gave him the edge. And Even Joe Rogan said on comms, just as the fight was about to start, he said McGregor, he looks calm, he looks relaxed, and Jose looked nervous. And even him watching that just before, obviously, just before the bell, I think that spoke volumes about how the fight was going to go. Mo, 13 seconds, it was over within a blink, and at the time it was the quickest knockout recorded in UFC history. No one could have predicted that. It's got to be one of the most significant and impressive championship performances we've ever seen from a challenger.
You say nobody predicted it. You're right. Nobody from us predicted it. No, none of the fans predicted it. None of the people that were reviewing the UFC shows predicted it. But somebody did predict it, and yeah, it was Conor McGregor. So you got to give him credit for that. He called his shot and he got it. It was that left hand. He had told everybody that left hand is the most dangerous thing in the UFC right now. And he wasn't kidding, because when he caught Aldo with that left hand, that first left, it connected. Aldo was on the ground. And I remember Joe Rogan also met on commentary when Aldo got knocked out, he said he predicted it, the left hand, and he still went for it. So it just shows you just how it was just his confidence was like so high. Like he just knew. McGregor knew when he came into that arena that he's leaving with that title. He just knew it. It was like you said before, the story was meant to be. The story was written for McGregor to win the title right there.
It's one of the most iconic moments in UFC history to do that to someone who was feared throughout the featherweight division for years, hadn't lost, as we said, in 14 years. And there was a video actually that surfaced after the fight, and it was McGregor. He said in the press conferences that Aldo would come in close and he'd catch him with the left hand. And then a video surfaced of him in the warm-ups in before going out into the cage, of him practicing that left hook and waiting for Aldo to come in. I think as a fight, it was just incredible, and the commentators' reactions will always be hilarious as well, because that was everyone's reaction to take a belt off someone like that, and to do it in that fashion. We've had now Jorge Masvidal breaking the record for the quickest knockout, but at the time, 13 seconds, it was incredible. And you touched on it before, Mo, as well, about how it was sort of meant to be, and this fight for Aldo sort of, he went on to do okay. He had a few more fights. He had a few more fights after that at featherweight, and then he actually dropped down a division to bantamweight, and he actually picked up a few wins at bantamweight. But it was almost like that fight after that set Aldo up for a career of inconsistency after that.
I do believe, though, yeah, it changed the landscape for him. It changed the whole, but again, we're talking about an event that changed the whole landscape for the entire UFC at the time. So it was like it was the changing of flags, the changing of how we run things in the UFC now. At the time, Jose Aldo was champion, but let's remember, like you said, Jose Aldo didn't speak a single word of English. Yeah. And at that time, I think this was a problem with especially like the marketing aspect of it for the UFC. They couldn't really market themselves, even in the US market or the UK market or any market to be exact. They were having issues getting stars, and now they had their star. And to them, I think Jose Aldo became, if it was a game of cards, Jose Aldo became an invaluable card for Dana White, where it's basically like, where do I go now? Yeah, like where do we go with you now? Like went on, like you said, to bantamweight, had a fight, I think, against, I remember, Frank Edgar, and he won.
Yeah.
But then he ended up losing after that twice to Max Holloway, and at that time, his body, he was old, he was 34 at the time, his body started deteriorating, and I feel like Jose Aldo's career in the UFC, what it could have been, is bigger than what it was.
And we talk a lot about McGregor, but let's not forget that Jose Aldo before and even after that fight is still one of the greatest fighters to fight in the UFC. He's such a legend. Yeah, he's gone on. He racked up a few wins at bantamweight. And now, yeah, as you mentioned, he's doing a few things that Oscar might touch on in a bit outside of MMA. But from a business point of view, Oscar, this fight really catapulted the UFC into a global sport, and it was McGregor really effectively took the UFC and put it on his back and carried it into the global spotlight. Not only the UFC, but I mean, boxing can also take aspects of how McGregor changed the landscape of sort of not giving all the power to the organizations and sort of fighters taking the reins of their own destiny. And we've seen it with Francis Ngannou in terms of saying, you know what, I'm not happy in the UFC, I'm going to go and box. And we've seen other fighters after McGregor sort of not just accept the UFC's sort of way of running things. So he set a precedent.
Yeah, massively. And I think, as you say, well, with any business, one of the main priorities, but also challenges in some instances, is navigating those different markets. And with McGregor, he was almost able to fuse the European and American markets, with obviously being from that Irish background, but also sort of tapping into the Irish communities in America. And from that, I think that, as you put it just there, the UFC became this global brand. And you've obviously written an article recently on the Sports Gazette about that us being in a golden age in terms of British MMA fighters with the likes of Leon Edwards and Tom Aspinall. And I think especially these British fighters have been able to come through the ranks because of McGregor. I mean, if McGregor didn't come along and had done what he did, who knows where the UFC would be?
And Mo, McGregor, Eddie Alvarez, 2016. We didn't see McGregor win another fight until 2020 against Donald Cerrone. And obviously his last two fights were against Dustin Poirier and didn't end in the way anyone expected, really. His next fight's scheduled to take place sometime next year against Michael Chandler. Where does McGregor go from here? And how do you fancy his chances against Michael Chandler, who has already shown in quick time in UFC that he's not here to mess about?
Look, when it comes to McGregor, it's hard to predict. It's hard to predict. But I'm not going to lie. He's talked the talk a few times again. After, like you said, after the Eddie Alvarez fight, he lost to Khabib, which is fine because I believe that Khabib is also one of the best we've ever seen in the UFC octagon. So I don't think that like that loss, but then when he came back against Don Cerrone, one, we had like hopes that oh, he'll come back even stronger, and he still took a long time long break, and then came after fought Dustin and lost to Dustin. And he seemed like he was losing it to some extent, getting into bar fights with random men, like random drunk men in bar fights. See, I'm not gonna lie to you. It seemed like he was off the horse. I don't wanna claim anything, but it seemed like he was like not his normal self, not the focused McGregor that we know, not the McGregor that was saying, "Oh, I don't want to sleep in feathered beds because I don't want to get used to it."
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up falling for the same stuff he used to say he doesn't want to become. And I believe that hopefully a new type of McGregor shows up, a new improved McGregor. And we could also see him even build even a bigger legacy in the UFC than he already has, because he has his eyes set on winning the title. And that's what he's been talking about on Twitter for the past few days.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you when you say the things about the feather beds, and it's never the same when you're waking up in silk pajamas. And I think after the Eddie Alvarez fight, McGregor reached new heights in terms of stature and in terms of financial aspect. In terms of And he was open. He was so open and honest when he first came through the ranks in the UFC about him being on council welfare and being humble. And I think that's the thing with McGregor. It's sort of we just need a focused, active McGregor who. The whole reason we fell in love with Conor McGregor is because, as we said, he talked the talk and he walked the walk and he was active and he said what he was going to do and he went in there and did it. And I think against after Eddie Alvarez, he took a stint in boxing and then he came back a fight against Donald Cerrone, who looked like, no disrespect to Donald Cerrone, but at that point of his career, he's obviously not the Cerrone that we're used to seeing. He was an aging Cerrone, so we expected McGregor to win. But then the losses to Dustin Poirier were very significant and they hurt McGregor's brand a lot, I think. Because I think now people don't believe him. And I think he, one minute he's this nice guy against Poirier in their first fight, and then obviously he gets KO'd in that one, and then he switches up to this McGregor that maybe we're more used to seeing, about he chatting more shit to Dustin Poirier and becoming sort of this like not nice guy. And then again, even in that fight, he breaks his leg and then he's on the ground saying, "Your wife's in me DMs," and like still just not this very nice guy. So I don't. That's the thing. I come back to what you said. You don't know what you're going to get with McGregor anymore. And I think that is the problem. I think the whole reason fans fell in love with McGregor is because of the way he would just go about his business and the way he would conduct himself. In terms of his next fight next year, Michael Chandler, Mo, he's come in and he seems like Michael Chandler's this guy who's always in the gym. He's not like McGregor where he's dipping in and out of it. And he's had great wins against Tony Ferguson, Dan Hooker. He's fallen short to Justin Gaethje and the likes. But, he's a solid top contender. And if McGregor's not careful, what do you see in that fight? I think it's a dangerous one for him to come back.
It's dangerous but also perfect in a way, because as we know, Michael Chandler's a, like, when it comes to standing up, he's like a great athlete when it comes to like boxing and his leg kicks are crazy. So I think Michael Chandler's versus Conor McGregor is going to be a whole lot of standing up, less on the ground than which is what McGregor likes, I think, which would feed exactly what McGregor wants. And I do believe that if the fight ends up happening, I don't really want to predict a fight, like, because at the end of the day, like you said, we don't know which McGregor is going to show up, but I do believe that McGregor would beat Michael Chandler.
Yeah, we'll see, because McGregor's had some issues earlier, a couple months ago now, with USADA, and we've seen the UFC cut ties with USADA because of the problems that McGregor's had. In terms of the Michael Chandler fight, look, it's a very dangerous fight for McGregor. From what we've seen from McGregor in his past couple fights in the past couple years, I can't say he's going to win. I just can't. In the moment, what I've seen from McGregor, I think he could, I hope I'm wrong, but I think he might get knocked out by Michael Chandler. But this is the thing with McGregor. I hate not backing McGregor, because he's proven everybody wrong so much. And we talk about this Aldo fight and we talk about Eddie Alvarez. And this is the precedent he's set for now. Even if all logic says he's going to lose to Michael Chandler, you don't want to not predict he's going to win McGregor because of what he's done before. And I think if I see, as we said, we don't know when the fight's going to happen. There's talks of maybe in January, but we're not sure. If I see more of McGregor being focused in the gym, less of him on Twitter, less of him at events in Monaco, less of him at turning up at, I think he was at the bare knuckle fight the other day with Mike Perry. I think he was at his fight. So I don't want to see him at these events. I just want him to be in the gym, grinding, because I know Michael Chandler's doing that. Michael Chandler's never out of the gym. He's always training. But as you said, it could work out perfectly. If he beats Michael Chandler, he's right up there for, in the lightweight division as a contender. And it'll only take him probably another... I'd probably like to see another fight after the Michael Chandler fight if he gets the win for and then the title. But still, if he beats Michael Chandler, he's a top, top contender. If he doesn't beat Michael Chandler, then what is the aftermath? Because if he doesn't beat Michael Chandler, his last fight, as we've said, was in 2020 against an aging Donald Cerrone, who you can't really take much of. And before that, his last win was 2016, Eddie Alvarez. And we've seen him dip in and out of retirement. So where would he go after that if he doesn't get the win against Michael Chandler? Do you think this is a career-defining fight for McGregor?
Yeah, I think it's a must-win fight for him at this stage in his career. But if he loses, listen, I think he'll just sail off into the sunset, really. He's obviously got this forged Irish stout that he's trying to promote. And he's doing a lot with that and probably not enough, as you say, in the gym. But I also agree with what you and Mo are saying. I think this has probably come at the right time for McGregor. I mean, Michael Chandler, at the age that he is, I think he's, what, 37 maybe? These attributes that he relies so heavily on, you know, the explosiveness, the fast twitch movements, they deteriorate with age. And no matter how many hours you spend in the gym, nothing can kind of stop that from happening. So I think it's come at the right time for McGregor. He's got a very good chance of winning this fight. And if he does, I don't even know what will be after for him if he wins the fight, to be honest. Like, because he's not going to be able to compete with the best in the sport at this stage in his career.
No matter what, how you want to think of McGregor now and him as a person, there's no doubt that this fight with Jose Aldo was one of the most significant fights in UFC history. It set a precedent not only for MMA, but in boxing as well. And he after that fight, he set himself as one of the greatest fighters in combat sports history. Oscar, Mo, it's been an absolute pleasure. Mo, back on it again. How have you found it?
Really interesting. Love chatting with the boys, honestly. I feel like I'm just here, like, speaking. It doesn't even feel like we're recording. It just seems like we're just having a chill combo, just like we do in real life. And that's it. I'm glad you guys had me. Thank you for your time, honestly.
Well, it's been a pleasure, mate. Anytime. And as we mentioned earlier on in this episode, we will have another episode out this week, previewing the next UFC card, the massive UFC card, with UK's own Leon Edwards taking on Colby Covington. We'll also be talking about the latest boxing news. So make sure you tune into that this week and tune into all the content on the Sports Gazette, which is, of course, the home of the Punch and Pod podcast. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.